so we're gonna hide. Won't you carry me away to safety so that I can be a higher place where the devil won't be? Oh, guardian angel, won't you carry me? Guardian angel.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. This is Kate Romero, and I have as my esteemed guest for this evening the lovely Miss Vicky King. Vicky is the highly regarded script guru to Hollywood films and luminaries that make them. She's the best-selling author of the industry standard book on how to write a movie in 21 days, the inner movie method. I have the book. I'm so excited I can't even tell you the title. It's a wonderful book, and currently Vicky King is a creative consultant on Conversations with God, the movie. As consulting producer on many films, she is behind-the-scenes mastermind whose clear and concise knowledge enhances every level of the production. She is a confidant and visionary to the principles in the creation of many films. Stephen Simon, producer and director of Conversations with God, has said, "Vicky King is the smartest and most insightful person about developing scripts that I have ever met in almost 30 years as a producer. Her intuitive insights into the personal drivers of each person with whom she works are breathtaking in scope and depth. I will never again make a film without consulting Vicky. She is our oracle." And I'll tell you, after having a nice long lunch with this lady, there are no truer words were ever spoken. What an insightful person. Best-selling author of Conversations with God, Neil Donald Walsh, has to say, "Vicky King is one of the most talented people I know. She's deeply intuitive and takes ideas and creates a brand new context. She brings a consideration to the process that no one would have thought of without her being there. Dynamite. And it is Vicky King's insight and compassion that is most treasured by her clients, making her an in-demand consultant not only among Hollywood's elite, but with people from all walks of life, including CEOs, world leaders, and royalty. She has been on over 500 radio and television shows. She is a popular guest for call-ins due to her uncanny ability to identify, address, and relieve callers of core wounds. This allows that the caller and the other listeners are set free on a clearer understanding of their destiny." And Vicky's website, if you would like to log on while you're listening to our show tonight, is www.vickyking.com. That's VickiKing.com. And I'm going to bring Vicky on now. Hello, Vicky.
Hello. Thank you so much for such an introduction. My gosh.
Well, thank you for being the person that caused it.
Well, you know, Kate, you're very dear.
Well, thank you.
You're very dear, and you have an endearingness to you, and I know that all people who are tuning into you will get that. It sort of splashes over everyone.
Well, it takes one to know one, my dear. So tell us a bit about your experience, because I'm so excited that Conversations with God will be opening on the 27th in the United States and then November 10th in Canada. So if you would like to just start out with telling us a bit about your part in the making of Conversations with God, I know that that would be a wonderfully insightful thing for our listeners to hear.
Well, it was a great joy. I'll tell you, I'll back up from the end of it and then back to the beginning of it. I remember that one night we were in Ashland. We shot the film in Ashland, where Neil was homeless, and it
Ashland,
was
Ashland, Oregon, right?
Ashland, Oregon.
Yeah.
And it was very cold, and I'm a Malibu girl,
mm-hmm.
So we all had 7 layers of clothes on, and it was 12 below zero, and it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and Stephen Simon, who is the producer director,
mm-hmm.
and I were working with an especially difficult shot that wasn't working out, and it was a pivotal shot that if we didn't get this one, it would change up some of the plotting. And so there we were, and you know, the snow was coming down and the rain is coming down and all, and we looked at each other and Stephen said, "Are we having the time of our lives?" Because it's just the best fun.
Yeah.
And especially if you can be from Hollywood and then, as your show is, from Hollywood to spirituality,
mm-hmm.
and be able to create that combination.
Mm-hmm.
So what I wanted to tell you was how it all, from the very beginning, how it happened was I was at the book convention 14 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you always get a lot of books at the convention, and you're always really interested in knowing which one you're going to read that night.
Mm-hmm.
So Bob Friedman, the publisher of Conversations with God, handed me the book, and that was the one that I read that evening when I was at the convention, and I tabbed it, which means that I structured it completely for the screenplay.
Oh.
Now, it's not particularly a book that you would think would be a movie.
Right.
But I knew then that it would be, and I put it on the shelf and knew that when all the other systems were in alignment, it would work out. And so then here we are. It's going to be opening next week, and I'm thrilled that we, you know, that it all came about and I got the call to come and be a part of it.
Yes. And without you, after getting to know you a bit, I'm sure it would be a whole different movie.
Well, without anybody, any time for all of us.
That's true.
That's the magic of the butterfly effect, is that all of us get a chance to step up in our spot in the world.
Yeah.
And if we don't, then it's a different world without everyone.
Absolutely.
So then that's the whole point of what you're doing, you know, with Hollywood and spirituality and what everyone is doing with their heart. Please, please, everyone who is listening, by all means, step up and step into what your offering is.
Absolutely. That's what I, every single show, I make sure that people hear me say at least 2 times that whatever's in your hero's heart, please tell somebody, please act on it, please contribute by letting us know who you really are and what your special gift is, because without that, then our evolution slows down, and if we want to have ascension acceleration, then if each person would just search their heart and find what's in there that's going to make them feel like that whole person that they are and go back to their true nature, if each person would just choose one thing, because we all have many things, just choose one thing and act on it and bring that forth, it would be a different world by next week.
Absolutely, yeah.
And
that's why we're thrilled that the film is coming out now, and it's just been an extraordinary, amazing odyssey for Neil, from all the way from being a person who was homeless to a multi-million selling author.
Yes.
And having such an effect in the world with the material that he has, and then now it being a film and what that can do more so.
Yes, and the film, after going to the premiere and seeing it, the film really, really captures from rags to riches, but in a different kind of vein, because it's not so much the riches that are important. Neil was rich already. He just happened to discover how rich he was.
Mm-hmm.
And that was through discovering his true nature and listening to his inner voice and his inner knower and allowing that to come forth. And a lot of times, Vicki, don't you find it to be true that when people bottom out the most, that's when that voice comes?
Well, you know, I was very adamant in putting an understanding in the film around too empty implies that much will be given.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he was doing. He was emptying so that the time could come to fill. Neil has an uncanny, magnificent talent in being in, you know, he can sit on a chair and there's 100 people that come to his seminars across the country,
mm-hmm.
across the world, thousands of people actually.
Yes.
And he can sit and disseminate for them what the problem is and be able to have a clear direction for someone.
Yes.
And he's very, very good at that. It's his dharma. It's you know, he's right on what he can do very, very well. And so he is given that platform.
Yes.
And maybe could not have done that so well in the homeless park. So
right.
For all of us, you know, be mindful of what it is that your offering is and allow that the positioning of where you are to stand to make that offering in the best and the highest, most elegant way can happen for you. And that's what happened with the film. You know, it's such a phenomenon the way this material came to pass that it had to be certainly divinely pushed along.
Yes, that's clear.
This isn't from some, you know, some genius marketing guy who's sitting in a room someplace. This is cosmic marketing.
Totally it is. And the movie really, really captures how that all came about. And for me, it was, I was stunned. I was stunned in the most delicious way watching that film, because when I first found Conversations with God, it was in March year 2000. I was under a tree at a dog park, just taking a break on my lunch break, which I always did every day to go and commune with nature a little bit, clear out my head and find solutions to the things I was grappling with in my daily Hollywood thing as a personal manager. And I finished, and every day it was such a treat to go read another chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And I finished the book and I stood up under the tree and I said as loud as I could, I want this book to be made into a movie. Everybody needs to see this. And then when I went to the premiere, it was as if it was my movie. You know what I mean?
You did it.
Yeah. Well, it felt like, you know, just everybody collectively, a collective consciousness who read that book and felt that way. I know I'm not the only one who felt that way. It almost felt like it was my birthday when I finished that book, my new birthday. And when I declared that out loud and to see the culmination of that movie coming to pass, it was the most amazing thing. And Neil is so humble and so approachable and so delightful and wonderful. His spirit walks in the room before you ever see his body. And
mm-hmm.
he's just really, really found, his resonance and his frequency is off the charts. And it took a lot of hardship for, you know, and it does for many, many of us. And I see people on the street who are homeless and I look at them as if they are somebody great, because they are.
Mm-hmm.
And all they need to do is just change their internal clothing,
mm-hmm.
shift their consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes sometimes a crisis to cause that, don't you think?
Well,
the emptiness so that something can fill.
You know, for all of us, we have our homeless moments.
I love that. There's the title of a book.
Yeah. And why ever not? We are to do that. We are to have that, a caterpillar, you know, it's a snake, they've shed their skin. We change up, you know, it's interesting because often we make a prayer for change, but the truth is people don't want to change.
Mm-hmm.
They want everything around them to change and they want to stay the same.
Yes, I find that to be true.
But that's not how it works. And what happens is we're pushed into change, and sometimes it looks pretty radical, such as being homeless in a park or any such other thing. And that then allows that change begins to enter. And, you know, we come with revelations and we have the oh, no wonder, and oh, that's because, and there's great shifts that occur.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't occur unless our circumstances really shake us up sometimes.
Exactly, and that's why everything's a blessing and everything is a gift, no matter what kind of package it comes in. When you find the gift, the pain goes away. And when you finally start truly living your purpose and find your dharma and find what really lights you up in life, the whole universe will show up to support it. And when you become of service, when it, whatever it is that you're doing, you find a way to make it a way to be of service, your physical needs are provided for. And that's why any one of us, any person who's listening, any person on the planet, globally, no matter what their daily job is, once they learn to make it a way to be of service, they find their entire life transformed and they always have everything they need.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a matter of approach and attitude. And attitude of gratitude might sound cliche, but it is absolutely potent and powerful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what I would like to ask you about, Vicki, now is healing the Hollywood heart. And I also would like to invite our listeners in the last 20 minutes of the hour, say around 6:40, if you'd like to call in and ask Vicki some questions. She's extremely intuitive. She will go right to the heart of whatever it is that you need to know without knowing where you are or who you are. We're all connected, and she will find for you exactly what it is you need for your answer. So please feel free to call in as we approach the 6:40 hour, and the number to call is, let me just pull that up for you. The number to call is toll free 877-876-5227. That's in the USA, and toll free for Canada only. It's 888-810-8322. And you can also call in direct at 530-876-3222. And if it's busy, try again. So you have a lot of options there, and we do hope that you will give us a call and speak to Vicki. So Vicki, Healing the Hollywood Heart,
yes,
is a marvelous thing that you've created, and I'm just so excited for you to tell our listeners all about it because it's very much in the theme of this show.
Well, I've been doing it for years, and what it is I work with people who have their heart's desire and have come to Hollywood. And now there's many ranges of that. There's the people who are wannabes, who, you know, who have it in their mind that, oh, if only I could just get my pencil and get a piece of paper, maybe I can write a script and make $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
All the way up to the people who are the movers and shakers of Hollywood and are very iconoclastic and on covers of magazines and such and very influential in Hollywood and with their stardom and what they're doing in the world. And so I work the full range of how we look at where they are along the pathway of their relationship to Hollywood. Some are aching to get in, and others are longing to get out.
Yes.
And various stages and phases along the way. I would say that without people calling in, there are many people who are listening in who have a desire to be heard and to be seen, and they want, and they have an idea, and they don't know the first thing to get it started, but they know that they have that feeling in their heart. And I would like to address to you that it is the best and highest for you to do is to not lead with your wannabe heart. And what I mean by that is, allow that you are an expert at something. You have gotten this far in your life and you're really, really smart at finance, or you're a really great mom, or something that shows your expertise and is allowing you to see all the skills that you've already accumulated.
Mm-hmm.
And so then always go from your point of power. And what I mean by that is when you go from your point of power, you are already an expert at something. It's inertia. It's like you're rolling on that already.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how to use those skills. And then you cross those skills over to the places that you feel tender and vulnerable, where you don't know what you're doing in terms of maybe this, you know, you haven't written a script yet, so you don't know anything about writing a script.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfectly fine because you're still adamant about a perfect idea that you have and know that you believe in and want to do.
Yes.
So the way to do that then is that you get to allow that your power in and your dignity mm-hmm. is that you are entitled to be equal and show up equally to the party.
Yes.
There's something that happens quite a lot. I get a lot of emails, or used to, let's say. I don't anymore because I switched this in terms of people's point of power.
Mm-hmm.
But many times people have a tendency to want to ask for somebody else to have your dream come true for you. And I'll tell you that that's not a dream that does come true, because you can't ask somebody else to have your dream come true. You're the one who wants to have the dream come true.
Mm-hmm.
So that when you are approaching anyone who you might have a shot at talking to a celebrity or some such,
right.
What you want to do is you want to go to that shot with what you offer, not what you think the other person can do for you. And
right.
when you do that, then it's something that Stephen Simon always talks about. We are the ones that we have been waiting for.
Totally. I couldn't agree more.
There's the incredible power in you initiating your own thing. Now, that's what spiritual cinema is, and the spiritual cinema circle, is that all this was generated just from Stephen had a heart's desire of he was going to leave Hollywood, and he didn't know what how this was going to happen, but he was going to create outside of Hollywood. He's a producer, very successful in Somewhere in Time and What Dreams May Come,
yes.
many other films, and was a mogul, and three studios, and left because he had had enough of Hollywood, but he didn't yet have the starting fill of what he wanted to do spiritually. In film.
Right.
And so he created a whole way to go about doing this, and now we have this film that's coming out on Friday.
I really encourage everybody to see this film as soon as you can, this weekend if possible, because I know that they will, the movie will do much better if we get a very, very large turnout its first weekend, correct?
Yes. The more, with any film, the opening weekend are the numbers. And when you see the numbers on an opening weekend for a film, then Hollywood makes more of those.
Right.
You know, and then you see the success of the thing. So just coming out to see it. And by the way, I will say that already 10,000 people have seen it who, Stephen and Neil went on a 18 city tour.
Mm-hmm.
Around to churches and various venues around the country, and showed it, and that was rousing and really moving and interesting for everybody. And then those 10,000 people are going to bring everybody into the theater for the.
That's so wise. Yeah, it's so wise that they did that, and I'm sure they're exhausted but feeling very satisfied.
I don't know. They were feeling pretty good, because it was one of those standing ovation tours, so it was pretty juiced. They got inspired by it.
Yes. So I would like to just congratulate everybody involved with, especially Neil, for allowing this to come forth and for being so diligent and persistent about the way he got his book published, the way he got the attention of the publisher. Which I won't give away, it's in the film, and mm-hmm. I just thought that was so cute and so wonderful, and what you're going to see in this film is not anything that any one of us cannot ourselves do in our own situations, and just say yes instead of somebody told me no, so I guess that's it. No, you keep saying yes until there's nothing left to say yes to, and your life will show up. Is that sticky?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is your time, your life. Your steps forward, and I think that the beauty of life is that it comes quivering to you. That you can feel it. You can feel when the spotlight comes on you,
mm-hmm.
and when it's your turn, step up.
Yes.
Yeah. And you're to do that. There's a line that I put in the film, and it says, "Heal that, and you will be free."
I love that line.
Yeah.
I use it all the time because, when somebody has any kind of gift of seeing where somebody's
got their internal wound, what that is, and you're very gifted at doing that. And you know, just bring forth what you see, which is what you see as an intuitive, and say it to that person and follow it with, heal that and you will be free. And wow, what an impact that makes, and what an impact that made for the film.
Yes, and that's for all of us, because everyone has a different wound.
Absolutely.
However, that's the very thing. When you're able to face that particular thing, whatever that happens to be, if you have a mother issue, if you continue to lose the same 25 pounds since you were in high school and you get it back again, any thing that always eludes you, that never gets
mm-hmm.
cleared.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're now in the 21st century and we are to clear these things finally.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get on to your destiny. You can roll up your sleeves and it's a wonderful feeling, because then you're here for your raison d'etre, not the thing to have to clear the wound, but now who you are beyond the wound. And that's some of the great deal of work that I do with people who have been very, very successful in becoming who they are now. You know,
mm-hmm.
they've gotten there, wherever it was that they said that they wanted to be. And now what? And so, my belief is that nobody gets to be a movie star, a major, famous person throughout the world
mm-hmm.
for that. It's you're famous so that you can use that platform to, make power in the world and affect change and, help.
Yeah, so it's pretty much why you're a Hollywood icon and what to do about it. And no matter how much money or success you might have, if you're still carrying around that issue, that one nagging thing, then it's time to stop getting there and to start being there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have received Vicki's private invitation, you need to get in touch with this lady and talk about whatever your issue is and finally resolve that, heal that, and you will be free. So you do private coaching, right, Vicki?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
People can contact you through your website for that?
They can do that, yeah. In the film, the film is arranged in such a way that it's a feeling film. And when you are in this is what we did. We arranged that if you watch the film, that thing will heal.
Awesome. I get that, too.
And that's the point of it. And how, you know, you might ask, well, how'd you do that? Well, there's a lot of ways that we work that. But one of the ways is that this is also dovetailing into Hollywood and spirituality, is how you conduct yourself as a maker of a film. So that when everyone came to show up to do the film, the community of how everyone was working together and what the spirit of what their wound individually was and what got healed as a result of working on the film.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my great joy, was to be able to work with each person's place of vulnerability and place of turning point.
Well, I can only imagine the vortex of energy that was created on that set every single day. I mean, to the point where snow came when you needed snow.
Oh, yes. That was perfect.
Can you tell us about that a little bit?
It doesn't often snow there, maybe three times a year. There was one shot and the snow came and it was these clumpy, you know, these clumpy wet snow drops where it was unmistakable. It was
mm-hmm.
exquisite. Now, when you're doing a film, what happens with it is you do the shot from several angles. So you have to, you know, do it completely and then stop and move the camera and then do it completely again so that you've got cutaways and you know, master shots and then close-ups.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, we started the thing, now this is a worry, because what happens with that is if it stops snowing in the middle of the thing, now what are we going to do with the pickup shots? See,
right.
So the snow came and Stephen said to Velma, it's just spectacular, and Henry Cherney played Neil, wonderful actors, both of them,
yeah.
Just superb. And he said, we got to get this on what, you know, in one shot. Oh, okay, fine, you know. So they did it, and we the snow came, we did the scene, with the scene wrapped, the snow stopped.
Yeah, perfect.
Perfect. It was, and it was the best show, Snow. I mean, Snow has been waiting to have this role.
Yes. That Snow, that very Snow.
Yeah. It was like, oh, we want our Hollywood chance. We want to be.
No, and I'll bet it happened even back when Neil started writing.
Yes, it probably was.
I bet it's been waiting since then.
Creating, that's true. That's true. It was preparing itself for its close up.
For its entrance.
Yes.
That's so wonderful.
And all, you know, all magic, you know, continued to happen, you know, in
yes.
terms of the casting and the weather and all.
Yes. Well, Ingrid Bolting is a friend of mine who I interviewed for the book that I'm writing, The End of the Anonymous Actor. And she's a phenomenal actress herself, and
yes,
she has a yoga studio up in Ojai.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just think you're right. I mean, you change one component or one person from that film and it's a different film.
Well, we wanted, you know, and I was just up with Ingrid because we had the screening up there, yesterday.
In Ojai?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lovely.
So we had fun because then we got to talk to everybody after the screenings.
Nice.
But Ingrid is, you know, I just, that line, heal that and you'll be free, was Ingrid's line, and
yes.
There could not be anybody else who could, you know, we wanted her. I mean, I just dearly love her, and how, the countenance of her in her beauty,
mm-hmm.
To be able to say that is why it was able to, you know, to then pattern in the film so that people could have that as they're watching.
Yes, her frequency was very important for delivering that line,
mm-hmm.
because it certainly was profound. And she and I had a conversation about that before I ever saw the film, and I couldn't wait to see that exact thing. And it was exactly as she said. She just said that for her, that was the most healing, profound experience of being in the film, was getting to say that line.
Yeah, and you know, I dearly enjoyed her.
Yeah, do you know Jeff Huttner as well? Don't you?
I'm
sure you saw him up there. He lives in Ojai.
Oh, he does? Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the cosmic connector. And he interviewed Neil and Stephen and all of those for a documentary that he did. So, I'm sure he's somebody you would like to know. I have to introduce you.
Oh, okay.
So I want to ask you now about something because you did mention how some people will still be losing that same 25 pounds since high school, you know, for their whole lives. And you have a theory about stop dieting and still lose the weight, and there's no willpower required.
Yes.
Tell us about
that. I have a tape out that's called My Idea of Exercise is a Nap, and I do a lot of seminars on that.
Yes, wonderful.
Okay, that's another thing that we can do without people even calling in, which is that I can work with a few people who are listening who have that. It's good that you brought that up because they were feeling that way, like, oh, I wish you'd talk about
mm-hmm.
my 25 pounds. Everyone's 25 extra pounds is for a different reason.
Mm-hmm.
And some people who are listening in here will be, I'll address that reason in particular. And that is that they have their phantom mothers in their body. In other words, they are carrying and wish to heal their mother within their own body.
Wow.
So that often when I get clients on it about the issue of weight, we can actually narrow it down to, well, look at these 7 pounds belong to dad, and these are your sisters, and here's your mom, and are you willing to lose 3 pounds? Because those are yours.
Yeah.
And right away when someone is willing to lose their poundage, which is usually no more than 7 pounds,
uh-huh.
then what happens with that is it lifts off so that the phantom weight is free to leave spontaneously.
Hmm.
And it's a different kind of weight loss than requiring you to pedal your bike up Pacific Coast Highway.
Yeah, right.
So that, you know, those are the shifts. Also, there's if you'll notice that there's other there's places in the body where you would find the weight, and often if it's a woman and it's in the thigh area, the hip and thigh area.
Yes,
that often is protection from sexuality, so that she can feel that she is impervious, not vulnerable.
Yes.
And that when you recognize that you are an adult woman, you can say, oh, I can have other choices about how I can protect myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like I, for instance, I have boundaries,
mm-hmm.
and I can respect myself, and I can say no,
mm-hmm.
and I can leave the room or do other ways.
Mm-hmm.
That, so then often that area is causing that.
That's very interesting. And of course it's an unconscious program that's running in us that causes us not to see why, you know, we carry weight in certain places in our bodies, because it's an unconscious program running and we don't even know that we don't know about it. So somebody like you comes along and brings that into our consciousness and our awareness. Being that we're intelligent people for the most part, we're going to choose another way once we get that into our awareness. Yes?
Yes. Heal that and you'll be free.
Exactly. I love that. Now there's a bumper sticker.
Yeah.
Totally. So thank you for sharing that about your idea of a diet as a nap.
Mm-hmm.
So they can get that tape on your website as well, right?
Yes.
Great. And tell us about Write Your Movie in 21 Days, Stuck, Blocked, Lost, Vicki Can Help.
That's from my book, my book, How to Write a Movie in 21 Days. Mm-hmm. And the reason I wrote that a long time ago, and it continues to be, you know, have brisk sales and is used quite a lot. Oh, I want to tell you a wonderful thing about that book is somebody just told me the other day that it was on The Sopranos. We knew that part, but it was on Enterprise, and I love this. Remember that's the new Star Trek, now I think that's also off the air, but it was the new generation
mm-hmm.
something, and they apparently were writing their screenplay in the future, and they were using my book from the 21st century.
And that's great.
I'm thrilled about that because I the reason I bring it up is because I really am a proponent of helping yourself as your past self and your present self. In other words, like you can go as your present self, you can go back to your childhood and be the only one that was helping you.
I love that. When you said that to me the other day, I was, wow, I haven't stopped thinking about it. That's very powerful, Vicki.
Yeah, and it works. It's very effective. So then, meanwhile, then about my book, when I wrote it as a metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
What the book actually is a lot of people, and in fact, that's why I got a lot of people for weight loss, because I wrote the book to write a movie ostensibly. But the truth of it is I wrote the book so that people could see the trek of how they have a life on Earth,
mm-hmm.
and how they have they're their own hero, and they have an action adventure
mm-hmm.
for their life. And so then I wrote it as this is how you would write a movie, but the truth is the book is also this is how you have a life on Earth as a human.
It's very, very well thought out and very, very poignant. And so it's pretty much you're saying your ultimate Hollywood connection is yourself.
Yes, and so then you're not writing a screenplay for a fictitious character because it's too much trouble. Why would you want to do that for somebody made up?
When your life is much more interesting.
Much. And you're doing it so that you can heal that and be free.
Yes. Oh, I just love this. This is wonderful.
So then the book can be read by it. That's what happened with it. Then it started being read by people who needed to lose weight. And then people who had diabetes or, you know, needed to.
And that's you know what? I love that you're saying this, Vicki, because the book I'm writing is not just for actors. It's called The End of the Anonymous Actor, Changing Your Life Story Forever. It's not just about actors. It's about how to have a life.
Right.
It's about the end of the anonymous planet, the end of the anonymous whatever it is. You know, it could be a whole series of things, but it's just the end of the anonymous, the end of the unknown thing that drives you.
Mm-hmm, exactly right. You know, there's an interesting thing that happens, you know, it's very, it's wonderful, and I feel very privileged to know so many very prominent people in the world. And there's an interesting thing, this whole, idea of fame and being anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
And how people long to have their moment of fame. And, and it's pretend.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretend. It's like when people say their career. I always think, well, what's that? Isn't that their life? I mean, what's that? Is that like an appendage outside of them? And many people who are very famous, they just think of that iconicity, that, you know, the icon that they are, as mm-hmm. the famous it. They sometimes call it she mm-hmm. or he. It's not them because they have a private life. And so I think that what's happening for, and, you know, brilliant in your book is for us all to be able to come to a level of joy and value and satisfaction around not being famous,
mm-hmm.
around being very, you know, like I feel that way. I never like with my family or anything, I never say that I've got a book out or that, you know, anything is that, and because they love me,
mm-hmm.
and they don't need to know.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need anything to prove it or show something to them.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's what I think would be valuable and deep for people to understand coming through Hollywood, or they want to do something with their work,
mm-hmm.
is that look at the need that you are finding in your own heart about how you wish to be seen and heard and viewed in the world,
mm-hmm.
and allow that fame is not love.
Mm-hmm.
Know the difference. And when you know the difference, it's not gonna hurt you so deeply.
Right. And it's, as long as we don't take things personally and assume nothing and respect and honor and accept and forgive ourselves, then it's easier to stay on our path.
Yeah, you know, it's easy. Yeah, it's much better to not involve yourself with the drama of your very self. You know, you don't.
Yeah, and so I'll quote you. It says, "It's not how you feel about Hollywood or how Hollywood feels about you. It's about how you feel about yourself."
Yes.
And in your Healing Hollywood Heart, people will learn why overachievers feel like failures,
yeah.
how to put an end to endless effort, the freedom to put yourself to bed, what power really is, how the concept of studio as dad affects your everyday, the hopeless hope, and there's no such thing as the big score, and why Hollywood never changes and why you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whether you're waiting tables or walking red carpet, you'll work from where you are to heal your Hollywood heart. So I think that's just a marvelous, marvelous thing that you've done, and what an inspiration. And I do believe that having read your book many years ago, The Inner Movie Method, to make a movie in 21 days, I think we have a caller. Hello?
Hi there, Kate. It's Heather.
Hi, Heather. How are you, honey?
I'm good. I love the show. It's so wonderful.
Vicki, this is Heather Katz,
Hello,
a client of mine.
Uh-huh.
Calling.
What can we do for you, Heather?
Well, I'm calling in to tell you that the show is so wonderful, and I can't wait to see the movie. And yes. I wanted to say thank you to Kate, live on the air, for helping me so much with my life and getting it together.
My pleasure.
And I'm just I'm trying to figure out where to go from here. I think that you know, after losing my 25 pounds, Kate helped me with that.
Oh, and she did. She looks so good. She's 6 feet tall, blonde. And
ooh.
Yes.
What is your heart's desire, Heather?
My heart's desire is to help people be strong and bring the love back in the world that it needs to be there. And a lot of people are not letting it out, and they're stifling it. And that's just one of my missions, is to have people love themselves. And I'm trying to love myself, too. Don't get me wrong. I'm trying to teach that to myself, too.
Well, the way to have that be in the whole wide world is to for you to exude that. And you're very loving. Look at you. What you get to do is include yourself in your service and your mm-hmm. contribution to the world. That's the one missing piece of the circle for you.
Mm-hmm.
And often we put our heart before our cart, our horse, is that we feel like I'll save the world and then I'll be okay. and it's quite the opposite is true, is mm-hmm. that you are an incredible candidate, Heather, to be your beautiful, lovely, wonderful, heartfelt self. And so then that's your God job. You pull up to the stoplight and, you know, people look across to the person next to them in the next car. And when they do, wave, and when the light changes, go on, and you've done your God job.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only wave if you have done your own internal love fest for you. That's the best mm-hmm. and highest that you can do.
Yeah,
if I try to go out and save the world first, it mm-hmm. doesn't work that way.
Well, I'm gonna try. It's a little scary, but I'm trying.
Yeah, it's much less scary to think, okay, I'm gonna take care of everybody else.
Yeah.
And part of the losing of the 25 pounds is that you are right up there now. You are raw, available, and vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you that vulnerability is the greatest power.
Yes.
So, you know, look at your wonderful heart, Heather, and it's time to just shine your light and watch what happens. You just walk in the world and you will see people will be responding to you and they won't know why, but they'll be attracted. If you try to, go in and help others or talk them into themselves, what you will do is energetically you will be like a magnet that will cause them to be polar opposites. And mm-hmm. to pull away.
Yeah, I don't want that.
So all you do is just love you, and you mm-hmm. will see, you will be a magnet that will draw everybody in.
And the greatest gift you can give to anyone, Heather, is to be happy and to love yourself. Because when you do that, the whole world feels it. And you're an example for other people to do that as well, and you're doing that. I'm just so proud of you. You've come so far and such a long way, because you know that if you don't go within, you're going to go without. And life put a situation in your path so that you could learn that right now. And you've been just the most marvelous, marvelous, fresh, available person. And, you know, your life shows it, and your friends are all telling you, you know, whatever you're doing, don't stop doing it, because you look great.
You know, it's interesting too, because there's evidence here that of your new willingness to have love for yourself, because you went to Kate and you were able to work with her, and you stepped up into a willingness to have that happen for you.
Mm-hmm.
And for all of us, we need to avail ourselves of one another's help.
Yeah.
Because that's the greatest joy. You know, that's what you want, Heather. You want people to have you help them.
Mm-hmm.
But you won't get those jobs until you've done your own personal,
story.
Yeah. It's interesting. The World Council on what was it? I don't even remember what the name of it is now. One of those, you know, very on world change. The Council on World Change
mm-hmm.
Asked me to come and do a speech, and I was really I'd been on the road and I was speaking all over the world, and this was, you know, things going to Sweden or something, and I thought, that's not prudent, because I need to go home now. And so I went home and I faxed them my speech. And here was what my speech is. How to save the world. Sweep in front of your own house.
Do what?
Sweep in front of your own house. And so then that's what I did. I went home and I swept in front of my own house, and they read the speech, which was nice and short, so then everybody else could go and take care of themselves.
Nice.
And it was, you know, it was the most effective speech mm-hmm. on the World Council of World Change, or whatever the name of the place.
Keep it simple.
But you have to be true to and call it. And you'll mm-hmm. see, Heather, in the next 3 days' time, that there'll be a couple of things, like you might have an appointment with somebody and then you're thinking, oh, I don't really, I don't feel like it, I can't do this lunch or whatever the thing is. And instead of pushing the override button, you will call them and say, could we reschedule? And then the other person will say, oh, thank you, I'm so glad you called because I would like to too.
Mm-hmm. Happens because all the time.
Happens all the time. And when you are truthful and honest and authentic, everybody meets you with their authenticity.
That's so delicious.
Well, I'm grateful for you ladies. I wanted to say that. And thanks for having me on, and thanks for your wisdom.
You're welcome, and I'm grateful for you too, Heather.
Yes,
we call her Heather.
It's a good alliance between the two of you that you really worked nicely with one another. So
just getting started. More to come. Stay tuned.
Okay.
So thanks for stopping in, Heather. It was great.
Thank
you.
Okay. Talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye.
So anyone else would like to call in, now's the time, because we're coming up on the end of the hour. And we'll just keep chatting until somebody
There's somebody who is hesitant to call. Shall we answer their question for
them? Yes, let's do that. It'll be fun.
Someone who is feeling grief.
Oh, my gosh. Wait, don't say another word for 1 second. I just clicked on turn your grief to joy, comfort your heart, and expand your world. I'm looking at that right now when you said that, Vicki.
Well, you know, do you want to do your grief?
Synchronicity.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
And someone is feeling that where she feels that if she lets go to feel the grief, that it's a big abyss and that she will never get out of it. Right. And the answer to that is go, because you have to literally allow your body to sob. You literally have to let the thing come physically out of you and allow for however you are feeling in grief to feel it. And then that spontaneously does change up to another level.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of people who are feeling grief also, they do repress it a bit because their concern is that it will consume them,
mm-hmm.
when actually to repress it will cause it to consume them.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really wonderful that you touched on that, because I know there are listeners, and probably including myself, with any unfinished business, whether it's conscious or unconscious in me, that, you know, it's an ongoing process to sweep in front of my own house.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about continuing to do that in every single area of our life. And I believe personally that what goes on in our life personally is what goes on in our professional life as well, because life is holographic.
Mm-hmm.
And when you grow in one area, every single other area improves as well.
Mm-hmm.
So to begin by starting to really understand that you are the one you've been waiting for, that you are the love of your life, without any ego attachment at all in that comment, but you are the source of your peacefulness, and you are the source of your love and your creator, and connecting to spirit and becoming inspirited and enthusiastic about being alive is really, really the best way you can celebrate and be grateful for your journey here. And it's like, I hit the ground running and I haven't stopped, and I'm not looking back. I just love being here and I want to make the most of it that I can. And Vicki, my personal experience of you, we just had the most delightful lunch at the Inn of the Seventh Ray, which is an incredible restaurant. I recommend it to everyone. A little pitch there for Inn at the Seventh Ray. You know, your energy and your posture and your essence, and, you know, not to embarrass you or put you on the spot, but, you know, you have that wonderful magnetic charisma just because you're so filled with spirit. I mean, light practically comes out of your eyes, like, you know, beams. And just to have that opportunity to have a one-on-one conversation in that beautiful environment, and just let spirit be there with us and guide the conversation was something I'll probably remember into my next lifetime, because there are always things when you do past life regression, you remember a certain thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that lunch will be one of the places I remember.
Ooh, well, well, that, it was, of course, it was wonderful. And did, Kate, do you want to talk a little bit about, the idea, the wonderful idea that you are
Yes, I would
on?
Love to. Thank you, Vicki. I'm looking to, co-create an event called Elevate Hollywood for September 2007. And it is a business plan that I have thrown together, which is a 12-month plan, and will show clips from films like What the Bleep, Peaceful Warrior, Conversations with God, Serious Business of Happiness, Celestine Prophecy, Darshan, The Embrace, and many, many more, everything from the Spiritual Cinema Circle. We'll have, hopefully, if he's available, Stephen Simon and Drew Harriet of The Secret and David Welch of Peaceful Warrior, and Dan Millman of Peaceful Warrior, and Marianne Williamson, and Vicki King as our writer, who's very spiritually connected and conscious evolution leader. John Rotz, people from Lionsgate, Gary Craig from the emotional, what's that called? The emotional treatment, EFT. Everyone out there who knows about it will know what I'm talking about. HeartMath. Deeksha, Mary Manon Morrissey, Doreen Virtue, the Institute of Imaginal Studies, just people from all over. And the new story is about connectedness, freedom, conscious choice, quantum physics, laws of attraction, evolution of consciousness, co-creating, and collective consciousness. And if you aren't part of the solution, you're part of the pollution. Divine union is what I want to personally spearhead and shepherd into Hollywood, by joining forces with all these wonderful people. I know I've left out so many people because we're counting down to the last couple of minutes of the show. But the old story of Hollywood was about separation and dogma and danger and dysfunction, and it was boring and limited. It certainly isn't anymore, and it's getting more and more exciting all the time. Would love to have sponsors like Lojas and Gaiam and Whole Foods Markets and Bioneers and many, many other things. And the cost of the tickets will be very minimal. And I'd like to see it at the Ford Amphitheater or Staples Stadium or anywhere like that, and just want to apply new thought to our lives and to the industry, and have conscious sponsors, conscious producers, conscious directors, conscious casting, conscious acting coaches, conscious talent, conscious crew, conscious media, conscious distributors, etc., and teaching media to focus on what's working rather than what doesn't work, and feed this new and important information to our collective consciousness. And that, in a nutshell, is what I see for happening by September 2007. And everyone listening, and all of those who aren't present on this this show, hopefully we'll feel that vibration and just come and support and be a part of that. And thank you, Vicki, for bringing that up. That's really marvelous. I got to say that and declare that here.
Well, of course. And as you declare it, so be it.
So it is.
So be
Absolutely.
It. And allow that everyone who is listening who would like to be involved and included, there you go. Here's
yes.
Kate, and she's with a good idea, and come aboard. Come aboard with your best and highest service and contribution that fits that. You know, that's the fun part of life is, oh, I get to, you know, bring my piece of the puzzle to the party.
Yeah.
And then we all, you know, make a good jigsaw.
And it all fits together and makes a beautiful picture.
A big picture.
And anybody who wants to be involved, my email address is guardianangelmgt@sbcglobal.net, and my website is www.guardianangelmanagement.com, all spelled out, no spaces, and you can email me from there as well. I want to take this opportunity to thank our esteemed guest once again, Vicki King. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being the light that you are on our planet, Vicki, and I'm so happy to know you, and I hope I do for many, many lifetimes to come. I'm
thank
sure
you.
I will.
Thank you.
And congratulations to everyone involved in Conversations with God, opening on the 27th of October in the United States and November 10th in Canada. Congratulations, one and all. Our next week guest will be... Who will it be next week? Let me see here. It will be Dr. Margaret McGraw, a fabulous relationship author who just completely rocked my world when I heard her speak on the radio, and that will be on October 31st. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Spiritual Hollywood. Please come back and visit us again next week, and remember to love yourselves and have a wonderful, wonderful week. God bless. Bye-bye, Vicki. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.